Everyone, to the We Are Libertarians Daily Podcast. I am Hody Johns. I am joined, you probably guessed it, by my buddy, Dale Melchin. Dale, how's it going, man?
Going tremendous. Just got done with a mad workout. Sent my punch selfies to everybody. My post-workout punch selfies. And doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing great, man. Excited to talk about this subject with you. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of fasting is I think of that religious, like, giving up food. And that's part of it, from what I understand. But yes. You also tell me, the guru that you hate that you are, but you are, you not tell me there's more to it. So what more is there to fasting, Dale?
I'm a sojourner. Well, in this particular case, I'm undertaking something called the ungaming. Now, I've already offended all of my gaming friends by telling them about this, because last week I realized how much time I waste playing video games. And so I went through Steam and systematically deleted all of my games. I did not remove Steam from my I did not remove Steam from my computer yet, but I decided for my own betterment to get control of my time, even though I haven't really replaced it with anything yet. I'm just gonna stop playing video games, stop wasting time, and it's been great. Glorious boredom going on.
So let's talk about then, like, what the, because that just sounds like quitting video games, which is no different than quitting smoking. So I guess to talk about fasting is
that's kind of how I view video games right now, Hody Johns.
All right, well, maybe it's your cigarettes, but I could. The thing about video games, I actually have given them up entirely before. There's a great quote which I'm gonna look up next time it's your turn to talk. Because it's just a fantastic quote, but it says, the quote says that those who do not attend to, who do not make time for leisure will sooner or later make time for illness, something along those lines. And I feel like you do need a certain amount of leisure. That being said, can your leisure get out of control? Yes, it can. You know, we are lucky. We live in an economy where we can dedicate a good amount of time to leisure, probably an unprecedented time to leisure, and still be able to fix our household. That being said, leisure is addictive just like anything else. You can get too much of it and your brain can say, hey, I can't cope with normal life. I'm used to having a very nice sheltered life. I'm used to everybody, my life being easy all the time. And it's kind of a bad wake-up call. You know, I think one of the reasons we have these huge dropout rates in college is because these kids are used to playing video games and just doing minimal amounts of schoolwork. You finally get time where it's all on you. It's your own discipline to carry you through, and you haven't had to learn any of that discipline. Whereas before, somebody would force you to do it. This is kind of your own thing. Now, the reason we talk about fasting is because that's one of the ways that you regain control. Now, you can talk about video games or whatever you want, Dale, but, like, what's the process of fasting and how does it help?
Well, I will unveil the religious mask here, but I am an Eastern Orthodox Christian by persuasion, and we just got out of a series of time called Lent. And so basically during that time, the ideal is that you're supposed to give up meat, dairy, and eggs, and basically live as a vegan for 40 days, 50 days until Easter. And so the point of that exercise is handed down by the Christian fathers is to help us basically gain control of the passions and draw nearer to God. If you believe in that sort of thing, I'm not necessarily evangelizing right now, but that's the point of giving up meat during that particular time. And usually what will end up, some of the either Roman Catholics or even some Protestants will practice this by throwing other things on top of that, such as video games or chocolate or, you know, name said vice or thing that you get carried away with. I think I may have mentioned this already with the ungaming that I'm going under, is I realized that I was wasting a tremendous amount of time just sitting here, either going across a map or fighting other criminals in GTA or building simulated cities. And I'm starting to have the DTs from a lack of video games. No, not really. But so I undertook the endeavor to, and I haven't, like I said, I haven't replaced anything except maybe I have by making sure I get to the gym when I get off of work, but excuse me, but I undertook the endeavor so I could regain better control of my time, parse it out for either more work or a different type of leisure that's more more productive, you might say. And I, you know, you don't have to give up video games. You can give up other things that either are vices or have become vices. I mean, glance over, but doesn't mean you can't do it now.
Right. I think there's a strong, I guess for me, there's a correlation. Now, you're okay with video gaming being something that you give up forever, in which case it's fine. Yeah. I would actually be okay with giving it up forever, too. For me, that's just my recreation. The quote I promised you is from John Wanamaker, and it's, people who cannot find time for recreation are obliged to sooner or later to find time for illness.
Right.
And so for me, I think that that is important in keeping leisure and recreation to be part of your life. I don't urge people to quit that, because some people do and they become very scummy, awful people. Or they try to, man, what I see among, when I worked in restaurants among my regional managers a lot, the thing is they would work themselves 100-hour work weeks, you know, no family. When I was with Texas Roadhouse, I got to meet the corporate board and none of them were married. None of them had families. It was a prerequisite to even being there. They're just like, you're not going to have that time. And the thing is all of them kind of had, were keeping it in and they'd go crazy for a week. Basically, they'd have a week off of work and they'd drink into blackness and, you know, wouldn't be able to handle it. So really, this is a matter of just gaining control of your leisure as opposed to just saying, hey, no more leisure ever again. You know, if you need that lesson, we gave you that last episode when we talked about earning it. This right. time we're kind of talking about, I think fasting for me is great because it's not saying, when you fast from food, it's not that food is bad. You just need to control yourself and say, hey, that feeling that I have that says, hey, it's time to eat, I'm greater than that feeling. That right. feeling that I have on the inside that says you need to play video games, you're stronger than that feeling. You know, whatever it is, that thing that says, I think, and everybody gets that clock with their leisure time to be like, man, I really, at first it starts as just an anticipation, which is normal. I want to get home. You know, when you salivate before a steak, you're like, I'm just excited to eat some steak. You know, I think your body goes through a normal process of being like, all right, it's almost fun time. But to say, hey, time out real quick, I actually have extra work today. I'm sorry, natural inclinations of my body. You can have power over those natural processes, that willpower. And that, I think, is assisted through fasting. Would you say that all that's accurate?
I would say that's all very accurate. And the biggest point of this, sorry, I'm stumbling over my words a little bit here. Yeah. I think the biggest element is getting control of your time, because you can't get time back. You can always go, if you have a slow week at work, you can always make up more money. You can always pick up a second job. You can, you know, sell something. You could start a side project, that sort of thing. You can't get it back. The biggest thing for me was getting control of my time. And the thing that you mentioned, those corporate executives working all those hours. I mean, typically when you get past a certain tier in the corporate world, you don't make any more money. From what I understand, restaurant managers and up are all salaried. I mean, is that true across the board?
Oh yeah, all of them were salaried. These 100-hour work weeks were just expectations. They were not trying to eke hours out.
Right. And so the thing of it is you reach the point of diminishing returns very quickly. I could understand, like, you know, an assistant manager or a waiter or a wait staff. We were just talking about this before the show, picking up extra shifts, that sort of thing. You know, as long as you're under that 40-hour cap or whatever. But, you know, there's a point of diminishing returns, because, yeah, you might be making, you know, $70,000 a year as a restaurant manager. I don't know I'm just throwing numbers around. But you already have hit that point of diminishing returns once you exceed 50 hours. And not only that, you're exceeding the diminishing returns for the corporation, because eventually, you know, people turn over, they burn out, they, you know, and that. And that sort of thing. So I'm not necessarily advocating that you go the other way and pull down three jobs. Now, if that's what you have to do, by all means, do it. That goes with utilizing, you know, violence of action and decisive violence of action and decisive. I don't want to use the same word action again, but being decisive to solve a problem. That's just par for the course. But as far as no, you don't want to. mix out your recreation. I mean, because that will make you sick. I mean, if anything, find something else to do recreationally. One of the things that I did was I made a wood burning for my mom for Mother's Day, and I wish I had it here with me, but I'll post it up later, maybe, if I can find a picture of it. But you know, dedicating yourself to some sort of hobby or side craft to fill that time, or just read the newspaper. This Sunday, what I did was I took three newspapers from, I paid for three newspapers from across the street, laid in that chair over there and just read the paper. And it was glorious. It was better than, seriously, it was a better experience than sitting down and playing the video games, because it's like, I'm just relaxing. But yeah, I mean, you don't want to go the other way, but at the same time, if you have to, do it.
Sure. Well, and this is when we talk about your recreational activities can end up being another job. I think especially in video games, the key with these with the games nowadays, the real model is to say, hey, log in every 3 hours for a reward. Log in every 8 hours. Log in at least every day. You know, hey, make sure to visit it weekly. I've removed all my phone games. Back when I was playing my phone games, that was a huge thing for me, is I was be like, well, this is how I stay on top. And I was always good about being on top because I had it all scheduled out. But I had to take back things from my family life. And this isn't like, yeah, I didn't have to like cancel a vacation because of it. But this is like, everybody has to pay attention at the dinner table and we're in the middle of a conversation. I'll be like, hey, I got to go just like a couple minutes. You know what I mean? What? But it's those minutes add up. And ultimately, the minutes I was getting from that video game were not more valuable than the minutes that I would have got at the dinner table with my family.
You know? Absolutely.
Those were more valuable to me. So what ended up being what was a recreational activity ended up owning me. You know, if when you see somebody go through an intervention, it's not like they're not like, oh, I just love drugs so much. They're like, man, I want to get clean. I just really am scared to go through all this stuff that is involved with getting off of drugs.
Right.
You know, I don't want to experience that pain. I don't want to go through that. It's very dark. It's very painful. I don't want to have to address those emotional problems. And so it's a burden. And so really this thing that, I mean, everybody turns to drugs at first to relieve you of your burdens, but pretty much everybody knows that they become a burden eventually. Right. And it's difficult. And so this is just one of those, one of the things that I always need to balance out to talk about literal fasting is with food. For me, I love to cook. You and I talk and you're like, you know, I'm usually making dinner. Sometimes I pick it up, but I'm usually making some kind of dinner and making lunch. And for me, that is a huge release. That's a huge entertainment for me. And it was very much a relief when I was going through some darker times. That was really what I turned to was cooking and making recipes to help myself get better. And so it was a good thing. But you have to balance it. It's not that you need to never do it again. You just need to balance it. And it would be very easy for me to have gotten off track and say, I'm going to make a lot of this. I'm going to cook 8 meals today. I'm going to make myself very porky cooking, you know, as opposed to making my cooking very effective, but also keeping it brief enough to leave room for other things in my life.
Well, one of the things you mentioned about cooking, that actually is a good outlet because it's a moving meditation, especially if you know the recipe. You can kind of just, you're free to, you know, where you're doing your knife work or you throw the meat on the frying pan or whatever instrument you're using. There's huge benefits to that. It's actually better for you, even if you're making some nonsense food like rice or something like that. But, you know, that's marginally better for you than what you'd get at the McDonald's. And on top of that, you know, if you've got family or friends around, you get to present them with a gift when it's all done, which, you know, you work some love into that food and that sort of thing. I mean, with me for the newspaper, which is one of the things that I ended up doing, was just, it's been so long since I've handled a newspaper and it was great. And sometimes, you know, that if you're taking a nap under a newspaper, those things smell great. They're wonderful. I'm being completely serious. It sounds like I'm being silly, but you know, it's like, oh, this is nice. I got this piece of paper over me that smells the ink.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. But you know, it's not even a matter of picking your poison. It's a matter of what is it that you're after when you're using your recreation. I mean, I would always butt heads with my adopted dad over video games because like you're not even yeah, you're producing anything. Even in recreation, you can produce something. And I'm like, nah, okay, whatever. But, you know, getting a little older now, I realize, okay, well, instead of putting my energy into into clicking this mouse and, ooh, you know, the orcs are going to get me and that sort of thing. You know, there is a way to make your recreation productive. And I'm not judging necessarily anyone who's doing video games, unless you want me to judge you, which, you know, I'd be happy to oblige. But no, I mean, it's just a matter of what you replace it with, what you're filling your time with, and what you're filling your mind with, one might say.
Right. And there's that, I think that's exactly it. If you do give up something, you're going to fill that time with something else. Whether it's eating or video gaming or going to the bar or, you know, whatever, or shopping or whatever it is. If you just say, I need to stop spending as much money, I need to take a fast from my credit card or something like that, to just say, you're still going to have time. You're going to have to fulfill it with something else. We're not saying, I guess I'm just going to sleep for an extra 10 hours. You know what I mean? Every day, because I can't, you know, I guess I can't do all these things that I want. You know, you're going to fill that up with something. Now, again, I want to stress that this is not just a push to work. I'm not just saying you need to work harder. Dale right. and I talked about working hard last episode. That's that episode. This is something else. I'm not necessarily saying that you need to do something productive for society, but do something productive for yourself. To say, this is my self-building time. The quote I brought up earlier, you have to make that time for recreation. But let's diversify your recreation a little bit. You're going to meet new classes of people. You're going to meet new just people that can benefit your life. And even if it's not social, you're going to create something that you're not used to. You're going to challenge yourself. I find that even my mom loves art projects, and I'm very bad at art. Writing creatively is about all that I do well, and I guess I'm a bit creative in the kitchen. That counts a little. But my mom is just, make a sculpture. She sees somebody's garbage and just thinks about how she can turn it into something magnificent. And she's amazing. My mom is so brilliant when it comes to art, and I wish I got even a little bit of it. I'm bad at stick figures. You know, I'll play Pictionary with her, and she's just beautifully drawing this like hair, and I'm just like, stick figure with the two little tadpoles coming off the sides, you know, is my, that's me drawing a girl stick figure, you know? And so it's just, I think, but the thing is when I get that extra time to try to do something else.
Cody, I was gonna say, you could draw her as a vase.
That's true.
Draw a vase and then, you know, draw the legs. I mean, you could improve it a little bit.
You know what? Maybe we'll have to try it out. I think of the vase, I think of the hands on the hips, you know, she might be a little too angry. But, you know, when you do draw these other techniques, you know, when you try these other techniques, you learn something, and you learn that something about yourself or what other people have to go through. So, for example, when I was hanging out with my mom in Arizona, we played with some clay, and she succeeded in making a lot of things, and I failed at making a few things. But I gained a lot of appreciation for what she was doing. And it was really cool. And so now when somebody's working with clay and they're like, oh, I was in, you know, I'm in this step and I just can't get it to, I'm like, dude, I feel you. You know, whenever somebody tries to make like anything thinner than a piece of spaghetti with clay, I'm just like, oh, brother. Like, you know, it creates an understanding, and it's really helped me get out there. So yes, I didn't really do it because I was good at it, and I didn't really do it for myself. I just did it, you know, at first I did it to be closer to my mom, but I was taking a break from what I normally do, from my normal recreational activities, and it just gave me an appreciation for what she goes through for her area of expertise, I guess. Her sweet spot on the bat.
Right. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I was trying to interact while you were talking, and it kept talking and it wouldn't turn down for me. Sorry about that.
You okay?
No, what I was going to say is, one of the things, even if you choose the path of boredom like I did this week, boredom, people think, oh, you're wasting time if you're bored. Well, actually, no. Even with boredom, you're creating a space. I mean, you're over the time period that you're just not engaged with anything, or you're just, you know, laying around. I mean, yeah, you can take a nap. That's regenerative, which I actually did do that after I got done with the paper. But, you know, there's naps, there's, it lets your mind, there's all these sciencey stuff but that goes into basically when you allow yourself to be bored, it does something in your brain where you're able to solve problems more creatively. And I wish I was more technical on that side of the house, but that's one of the things you can create. Again, better control of your time, even just extra time planning, that gets into the work side of things. But that's about all I've got in terms of that. To sum it up, I mean, you can create a space for more creativity. You can replace it with, fitness or arts and crafts activities or, cooking or any number of things. I mean, just look up an exhaustive list of hobbies on Google and bam, there you go.
Let me ask you this, Dale. Is it possible for you to get bored?
Yes.
Yeah?
You're boring me right now. You're not boring me right now. That question was so boring.
This whole podcast is boring. Of course.
No, it's not.
It's not possible for me to get bored. Mm-hmm. I could be locked up in a room for the rest of my life and I'm just never going to get bored. My mind is just constantly racing, constantly on. I know that, and now I'm going to go ahead and insult your intelligence. The reason I even brought this up is because they tied intelligence to the lack of ability to get bored, right? To experience boredom is what I should say. And I think that it's because now you might not get bored because you find something to do or you allow yourself to, maybe you and I have a different definition of what boredom is, but essentially when somebody's like, I'm bored, there's nothing to do. Well, there's tons of stuff to do. Right.
Oh yeah.
Like I think an intelligent person, it really is impossible. It's something that like is very childish, very, very juvenile to say I'm bored, because really if you're bored, you just don't understand everything that you have the possibility of doing in this life. Maybe we were Neanderthals and we were either hunting or not hunting and we'd gotten a fresh kill. Maybe you could be bored for like a couple of minutes, but even then you got to think about where you're going to sleep next. And I mean, even without all this higher level intellectual thought, it would just be so hard to be bored. And I find that people who listen to this just couldn't be bored. So even if you fast from something, you say, man, I'll be bored. I really don't think you will be. Especially if you're listening to this show, I really don't think you're going to be bored. I think right. that's a stupid person problem. And I think if you've appreciated this show, you're not a stupid person.
Do you have a filter so I could throw up the bird sign at you for insulting my intelligence? Because I didn't know what you were going for there. I want to push back on that a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Closing arguments, dumb dumb. No, I'm kidding.
Fuck off. I don't mean boredom in the juvenile sense of I'm bored. No, I mean like just even if it's like somewhere between being conscious and meditating, where you kind of just space out and stare at the wall. I mean, you're basically it's a form of conscious rest. It's not meditating, but that's the type of when, and I'm trying to remember, I wish I would have, maybe next time we'll circle back around to it, but there are a couple of podcasts I listen to where it talks about the art of being bored, and it's basically just letting it's kind of like, you could say it's like letting the engine idle, or where it is, it's still in a state of readiness when you hit the gas. Yep,
that makes sense.
But you're just creating that space. It's hard to be precise with it, because you're right when you say, when I've said allow yourself to be bored, you immediately went to the 12-year-old that, I'm bored, which usually means they're hungry, they want to interact, or they're neglecting their chores, or they could find something to do. So there you go. That's my final thought. Closing argument. Closing thoughts. Final thoughts. Final argument.
Yeah. All of that. I think you got all that in there. Man, I'm not even sure if I have really any closing thoughts. I think fasting's great. I don't think you necessarily have to do it with food, but I would say consider it if your leisure activities are maybe dominating your life a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. I think we all sometimes live in a denial about what is really holding us back.
No, I don't live in denial.
Except not Dale, of course. he's perfectly aware of everything. He's in denial of being a self-help guru. That's what Dale is. We all are, we don't like to bring it up. it's not natural. I am a strong, now this is something my church teaches, I will impress this upon everybody, but that the natural man is an enemy of God. Now, that aside, let's at the very least just take that to mean let's second guess the natural man a little bit. If your nature says, hey, you know, it's okay, play video games all the time, take another hit, you know, it'll be fine. It's time to push back on that just a little bit. If there's anything in your brain that's saying, hey, this is the way that you need to act, you should question that. You know, and I'm not saying that everything, that it's right or wrong, but at least question it. At the very least, put it to the test to say, hey, look, you know, my nature is telling me to do this, but I really want to think outside the box right now. I want to do something else. I really want to consider what else I could be doing with my time. And so I'm going to put it on break. I'm going to put you on timeout real quick just to get you under control. We talk about regaining control is kind of the purpose of fasting. To say that, hey, look, I'm playing 80 hours of video games a week. I need to take a break. And then when I come back, it'll be a treat to play 5 hours of video games a week. And that's really that balance that you're looking for.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, let's close it up here. Again, we'relibertarians.com, Patreon. We love you guys. If you're subscribing on Patreon, thank you so much. If not, patreon.com/wearelibertarians. Subscribe to the Wall Reader, wallreader.com. Great first issue on that. Dale and I are both published in that one there. Dale talks about orthodoxy, and I talk about the Tea Party, and that's fun. And, of course, simplisticadvice.com as well. That's where you can find even more of Dale's advice in case you just aren't getting enough here, in case We're Libertarians, Dale, isn't enough and you demand more. A lot of you guys hitting up my messaging box and ask, want to know where Dale gets a lot of his sources. My source is Dale. I went through some psychology and some counseling a while ago, but Dale is my source. So if you're looking for sources, that's what it is for me. So if you'd like to ask Dale, that's a good place to find him.
We're doomed.
Right.
We're doomed if I'm your source, man.
We might be in some trouble. But yeah. Simplisticadvice.com. Until then, Dale, excellent day to you.
You too, man.